Welcome to ICB Berlin's Travel Hero Podcast, the place where we explore the ideas, innovations, and leaders shaping the future of global travel. I'm your host, Charlotte Lant-Davies of management consultancy A Bright Approach, and today we're exploring the evolving world of destination marketing and the role many women are playing in shaping its future. Destinations today are balancing more than attracting visitors. They have to navigate sustainability, community engagement, local impact, and create experiences that benefit both travelers and residents. Across this space, we're seeing many inspiring women stepping into leadership roles and driving meaningful change. One of those women is Gitte Mikkelsen, and I'm delighted to have her join us today. She's a senior manager at Wonderful Copenhagen, which, as it happens, is my birth town. Gitte has built an impressive career in destination marketing and is deeply involved in shaping initiatives that create positive impact both for destinations and the communities that they serve. So today we'll explore Gitte's career journey, why women are thriving in this part of the industry, the challenges and opportunities destinations face, and what the future of destination marketing could look like. Gitte, welcome to the podcast. It's wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you back for this because we worked together at the recent ITB Berlin convention in March, where you joined one of our panels on the tours and activities track. So excited to have an opportunity to dive a little bit deeper. So thanks again for joining us.
It's great to be back. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Good. So am I. I'm going to dive straight in because I know a little bit about this, but I want our audience to get to know you a bit better. So tell us what led you into destination management and tourism in the first place, please.
I've always worked with places and people and experiences. Many years ago now, it seems like I worked with experience economy. And for me, that is somehow the same as tourism because you work with creating great experiences for people. Since I'm an ethnologist, people are for me like a natural place to start. I'm very interested in what make people behave the way they do and look at how can we make great value proposition for different kinds of target groups, no matter what you work with. I've been a consultant for many years within experience economy and city development. I've worked for a huge festival in Denmark, where we also look at how do we create great experiences for the audience, together with the audience also. And tourism just kind of became one of my great interests because I think it all kind of melts together. When you work with tourism, you have so many things combine. You have to make these experiences authentic because people come here for vacation. You also have to make it something that's relevant for the residents because otherwise, as you see in other places, not much in Copenhagen, but in other places, you can see people get very frustrated. So you have to kind of look out for that. How do you make that relevant for people living here as well? And how do you activate the space, the cityscapes, the areas, so it makes the experience even better. So the journey is kind of, well, I wouldn't say it's not straightforward, but I've been to different businesses and focused on different areas. And this is somehow the way that I can meld it all together, working with destinations.
It sounds from your sort of experience that you have found the right sweet spot for you, merging.
Yeah, I love it so much because I get to do what I love. I get to work with people. I get to work with experiences and developing great experiences for different kind of target groups. And I get to do it all in some kind of like space, city space. So yeah, for me, it's great.
Before we get to talk about sort of some of the initiatives specifically, I want to get back on what I touched earlier, which is that we find actually that many women are very successful in this particular area of the industry. Do you have any thoughts as to why that might be? Do women have specific strengths that just happen to help when you work in destination marketing? I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I think most definitely. I work together with so many talented women not to say that they're not talented men, but I do see a lot of talented women. And I think some of the great skills of like emotional intelligence, being able to listen and understand what is actually going on. When you have, for instance, in an area, you have some different kinds of partners not being able to work together. I see a lot of my female coworkers being able to actually attend that room and that conversation with a lot of empathy and actually focus on what is going on here. We don't really come with this agenda on what we want them to do. I think the great way of just trying to understand people and understand a place and then develop together with people, I see that as a very important thing, and being able to balance that. So maybe it is the female superpower. I see it as very important, and maybe that is one of the main things. I would say so.
Let's talk a little bit about projects and priorities. So let's get down to the specifics, I suppose, because I'm very excited about the initiatives that you guys are facilitating in my growth city, shall we say. So what are they? What are the most interesting projects that you are currently working on, Gideon?
There are so many, of course. I think one of the most important things is that we are really focusing on spreading out tourism. There are so many great things to see and do in Copenhagen that is not in the city center. So what we are trying to do really actively is to activate different kinds of what we call mini destinations in the city, where we bring people together to work on the specific storytelling and value proposition in their area. We also focus on creating positive meetings between locals and tourists, to see how can we actually make some kind of cultural exchange where it's a good experience for both parts. I don't believe in tourism as something you put on the top of the city. It has to be really well integrated. So when you work with tourism, you also work with city development and you work with the residents. So to actually bring them in focus and look at how can we create these positive meetings is very top of mind. And I would also mention a big project, a big campaign that we have called Copen Pay. We've done that for several years now. This is year 3, where we, together with a lot of the partners in the city, the hotels, the tourist attractions, like museums, stuff like that, we work on how can we make some kind of actions. They can maybe pick up trash or do something good for the environment and then get some kind of rewards, which could be everything from coffee to free lunch to a lecture, knowledge of some kind. I just see that giving so much to the people living here because they're very proud of their city, they can be a part of that initiative as well. Tourists, they really love it. They feel like they can come here and actually create some meaningful for the city as well as themselves. And for our partners, it gives them like a new platform and they can activate new activities that normally they wouldn't do. Like before, they would might do something really extravagant. And now maybe they'll team up with a park where their hotel guests can go and collect trash. And some people would say, why on earth would you do that on your holiday? But sometimes we want to do something that is a positive impact and positive change in the world. And when we have vacation, we have time. And you can come back from your vacation and actually feel that you did something. So yeah, we see that bringing it all together, because that is also a way of spreading out tourists and making these positive meetings. So it all adds up.
I absolutely love this. You see myself, our audience can't see me smiling from side to side. I love these initiatives. And you know, the mini destination within a destination, the meetings between locals and tourists, giving something back, even if it's for 2 hours, it makes anyone feel great. And what I find fascinating here is any city could do this. So why don't they?
Well, actually, now there's no excuse, because we just launched Destination Pay, where they can learn or get inspired from like the way we're doing it and doing it themselves. And I think maybe it was last week that Berlin Pay just launched. So some cities are actually doing it, but I would also say, why not? I think more should join, whatever it is that they can learn from us or make it into their own or whatever, but just think about it in that way, that when we travel, we have time and we want to engage ourselves in the place we visit. So maybe do it in your own way, do it as we do. But this, I would just say, anyone, do this because we can see that it actually creates value for so many.
Now, nothing just comes about without there being a challenge or two along the way. So we do need to talk about that a little bit as well. Although the positive of having created what you have created is what this podcast certainly is going to be more about. But can you tell us a little bit about the bigger challenges when you are trying to bring together these new ideas or bring them to life? Because there must have been days when it has been a little bit more challenging than others.
Yeah. And here, I think, again, we can activate the female superpower. Of course, it's challenging if you just do it by yourself and you try to force people into something. But what we always do, like my approach is always to go out there, talk to people, talk to our partners, talk to the locals to actually hear what makes sense to you. What is good tourism, or when is tourism not bad? What can create value for you if we bring more tourists here? So, of course, it can be a challenge if no one wants to talk to you and no one wants to be a part of the change. But luckily for me, maybe it's just a coincidence, I normally always get someone that is willing or interested in being a part of the change. And I think that makes it less challenging because two things, I get people to talk and then I get the knowledge I need to know to help them, but also they engage. So I can actually do maybe first round together with them, but then afterwards they have established the network. They have some kind of knowledge, they have some kind of experience, and then it's much easier to do it by themselves the next time. So if people don't want to use the time or they don't see the purpose, of course, that's a challenge. But I would also say then I failed at my job. And luckily, I don't tend to do that. So yeah, it all worked out.
Well, again, as we have discussed on this podcast, with so many different topics, communication, of course, is always key, and the reaching out and the actually presenting a plan that the audience can understand. We hear the term positive impact tourism being bantered around a little bit, but I wonder what that means to you in practice.
Positive tourism is when tourism doesn't feel like what people think tourism is. Now, that was a difficult one. But tourism is actually something that I think, if it works well, is just a part of everyday life in the city. Tourism is when people that have some kind of interest in you or your city or your country, they come, preferably with good intentions to contribute or experience, and hopefully meet up with people that are like-minded. They probably would visit areas that talks to them in some way, or they will go to have experiences that they feel talks to them. And that is the way that you have a positive meeting, because you will meet people that somehow share your values. I always say that to the partners I work with, that if you create something that you are proud of and you want to be a host for that certain experience, you will attract people that like that kind of experience, and you will most likely have something in common. So for me, the positive impact or the positive tourism is basically cultural exchange or value exchange or something that is just an extra positive side of meeting people. And maybe that person comes from another country, maybe they bring some different perspective into the meeting, or somehow also create value the other way around. But I think when it doesn't feel like tourism as people define it, then you have a success, because then it's just people from different parts of the world meeting up, doing something that maybe all of them love.
That is, of course, very much what we want to create. And people are not going to travel any less. That is one thing that is for sure. And people are also very, very willing to immerse themselves in many, many, many more activities than they ever were before. We have a whole host of opportunities that we can dive into if we want to do this better, both for the locals and for our tourists visiting.
Yeah, exactly. And as I used to say, like, it's not about getting just more tours. It's about getting the right tourists. It's not always quantity, it's quality. And I think also, like, and maybe again, that's a female perspective, but it's not always just about growth. It's also really focusing on quality. And then maybe you can earn more money or you can create value in different ways. But as long as you focus on the quality and you focus on having pride in what you're doing, the authenticity of what you're doing, I haven't experienced the downside of that, because if you do something you're proud of and it's authentic, then it can also create something really good for the people themselves. So that's kind of like the win-win. And then tourism is part of development of a city, basically.
What should destination organizations, in your opinion, really be focusing on over the next, let's just say, 2 to 3 years? Because things are moving fast. And we also need to pay attention to a lot of things.
Yeah. And I think, of course, we can always address future, right? We can address everything that's combined to the digital world. People are moving faster. People want to have everything in easy access, stuff like that. But I think what the most important thing is you can focus on is to really look at how do you make whatever you're doing with travel, how do you make it authentic and meaningful, and don't really have the whole focus on what the future brings. Because sometimes what you see in a very digital world, what people actually want when they're on holiday, they want something that's more analog. They want something else. So once again, I think it's important that you kind of listen and understand people. What is the human need? What is it that people do when it's about leisure and not just every day? And how can you give that specific experience connected to the place? Because we can always look and reason why you should stay home. Like, it's always better for the environment if you just sit down and don't do anything. But if you travel, if you use whatever kind of way you're going to get to your destination, a flight or a train, whatever you use, if you have to make that worthwhile, you really have to focus on what is it that is so specific about the place that brings enough value that it makes sense that people, they do travel. And what we see again and again, it is that meeting other people, meeting other cultures. So if you kind of focus on what is it that your culture and what is it that your area or your destination can bring, how do you work together with your neighbors if you are like in a small destination, not as a city, but in a local neighborhood, you work together, what is it that you can give that people can't experience anywhere else? And that decreasing demand for authenticity, I think it makes sense, because people know that they can get anything anywhere very fast, but you can't really get that true authentic experience of a place anywhere else if you go to that specific place. So really focus on what is it that you want to give people that they can't get anywhere else.
This is a specific last question for you personally. I want to know what you are most looking forward to achieving over the next 3 to 5 years, say, if you stay with wonderful Copenhagen for that amount of time.
What I'm really keen on at the moment is to focus even more on how do we create value for the residents, the Copenhageners. We focus a lot on how can we involve people in tourism in a way that makes sense to them. So what I do is to look at what, like, you are just not a person from Copenhagen. You are an individual. And what we want to look at is how does this make sense to you? How can we involve you so it actually creates value? And I will dive even further into that area, and also to see how can we involve people more permanently. Like, could we get someone to be an ambassador for the city? How can we work with volunteering as a part of local engagement? I know somewhere they have this kind of welcome committee standing and saying, welcome to our city. Some people I know, they will love that because it makes them proud. They are proud and they can show people around. We have some very good initiatives, for instance, something called local ambassadors, where locals, they actually go on free guided tour and they don't do the whole historical route. They go and tell, like, what is specifically amazing about my local neighborhood. I want to create more community around being a local that involves themselves in tourism like that. And I also want to make sure that we can create more community in our mini destinations in the city. So it's for the partners that works within tourism, but also together with the locals. So we get these really strong communities in different parts of the city. And then, of course, Copenhagen, like what I love to do at the moment is to inspire our partners to think about this way of doing the whole action reward thing. Now it's very focused on climate. If you collect garbage, you get coffee, or if you take the train, you will get a free ticket. But we can do more. Like with tourism, we can also look at the problems we have in society, for instance, with loneliness, elderly sitting alone, or young people wanting to have company. Like, what could we do with tourism that could actually give something back to the community in some of these different areas that are difficult to create value within? So I have a lot of great ideas for what we can do with tourism. I think also, like an advice, should we say, for women in this space, don't be afraid. Have the confidence to actually try to put this on bigger scale. I know a lot of men, they're always saying, yes, I can do this. Maybe they have never tried it. Women should do that more. Just basically go for it. Believe in themselves.
I could absolutely carry on this conversation for so much longer. But sadly, I mean, you are never going to run out of ideas. That is one thing I think is very clear to our audience as well. And I love, you know, how your mind works. And how you are really, really thinking and going down completely new avenues, maybe even when we think about how we want to engage our tourists. Thank you very much. You have been a wonderful travel hero, and your insights have been very much appreciated.
Thank you for joining us today, Gigan. Thank you so much for having me.
I wish you all the very, very, very best with your many initiatives, for sure.
Thank you.
As always, we thank you, our listeners. Please tune in next time when we'll be discussing trends in luxury travel and how the definition of luxury is evolving in today's market. In particular, we will be looking at questions such as, what is the modern luxury traveler really conscious of? And how are expectations shifting beyond traditional markers of wealth? With that, we look forward to having you back soon. Thanks for listening, and safe travels.